The American Dream Mega Mall, formerly known as Xanadu, is a stalled multi-billion dollar redevelopment project in the New Jersey Meadowlands. Nation reporters Bob and Barbara Dreyfus investigated the role of New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and his top associates in jump-starting the project. And like many things in New Jersey politics, it turns out to be a complicated web of overlapping interests. Their two-part investigation concludes that the American Dream Mall saga, quote, could be the latest and biggest conflict of interest scandal in the tangle of scandals plaguing the New Jersey governor. I'm very pleased to welcome them to our show today. Hello.
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 Bob, where exactly is the Meadowlands area that the American Dream Mall, Mega Mall, or what Dream Mega Mall is located? Is it near the football stadium?
Yeah, it's all surrounding that area. In fact, when they first started getting this going, the sports teams who played there, you know, filed lawsuits saying that it would cause too much traffic and complicate, you know, people getting in and out of the games and things like that. But it's in that same area. You can't miss it if you drive up and down the turnpike because part of it sits, you know, kind of barren and unused from when they began building it in the 1990s. That giant thing that was going to have an indoor ski slope and everything else. And now it's sitting unused, but they say that it will be redeveloped and opened in 2 years.
How much of it has been built so far? Will what's been built be used in the future version?
Yeah, they're going to try to incorporate what's there, and they're going to take away the hideous color scheme and make it gray and white and you know, add things. But, it's going to be an amusement park and an ice rink and an aquarium and a performing arts center plus a mall and, you know, who knows, maybe a casino. And and of course, you know, New Jersey, that's the one thing New Jersey needs is more malls. So we can all be thankful that somebody's looking out for us there.
Barbara, why was the name changed from Xanadu to the more prosaic American Dream Mega Mall?
Well, they're giving it a facelift, so they gave it a name lift. I think Xanadu had connotations of failure, and it was the laughingstock of the state. Christie himself jokes about this being the ugliest building maybe in the country, and indeed it is. So that's what people think of when they hear the word Xanadu. So American Dream has prospects for a great new building and lots of jobs, lots of economic development. At least that's the way it's being sold or trying to sell to New Jersey residents.
When was it begun? And why has it been stalled for so long?
It started in the 1990s. The actual building started in 2002, but it really collapsed in 2008. One of the key funders at that point was Lehman Brothers. So when Lehman Brothers went bankrupt, building stopped on this monstrosity.
Do we know just how much money has been sunk into it so far?
It's about $2 billion is estimated to have already been spent.
Bob, Governor Christie has played a key role in reviving the project, despite calling it the ugliest building. Your article also focuses on a number of colorful characters, including David Sampson. How involved in the project are Sampson and his law firm, Wolf & Sampson?
Well, they're really at the heart of it in every direction, no matter where you look. I mean, you have to remember that Sampson, by the way, is the same guy who was the former chairman of the Port Authority, who resigned in disgrace in March because of a tangle of conflict of interest.
He and Governor Christie have been described as good friends, haven't they?
They're more than good friends. They go way back. When Christie was named to be the U.S. attorney in New Jersey in 2002, Sampson was the attorney general. And so they worked together, got to know each other. Sampson's chief of staff was Lori Griffa, G-R-I-F-A, and the three of them, Christie, Sampson, and Griffa, play key roles throughout this entire 10-year-long saga. Sampson was kind of Christie's mentor. He was counsel to his campaign when he ran for governor. He headed the transition team And then Christie named him chairman of the Port Authority. But Sampson and Griffa, who is a lawyer at Wolf and Sampson, the law firm, were lobbyists for Colony Capital when they were initially involved in building the Xanadu project almost 10 years ago. And then after it collapsed, they obviously maintained an interest in it. And when Christie came into office in 2010, he named Laurie Griffa, who was an attorney with this law firm, Wolf and Sampson, to be the head of the Department of Community Affairs and the head of the Meadowlands Commission, which was going to sort of oversee the whole thing. And he brought several of his cronies, Christie did, three at least who came, or maybe four, who came from the U.S. Attorney's Office, former assistant U.S. attorneys who played key roles in this. Among them, Jeff Chiesa, who was Attorney General for a while, and several other people who were brought in. Michelle Brown, who ran the Economic Development Authority to help fund it. And so in all of this tangle, you find David Sampson really at the heart of being attorney for, lobbyist for, promoter of this project, which Christie has been backing, for the past 4 years.
As you mentioned earlier, David Sampson is also the former chairman of the Port Authority. Why did he leave that post? And is it in any way related to the story that we're telling here?
Could you say that again?
Why did he leave the Port Authority post? And is that in any way related to the story we're telling here?
Well, he left under fire. I mean, he was sort of caught up in the scandal of Bridgegate. And as, the authorities began to look at some of the officials that Christie had put into the Port Authority bureaucracy, more and more it turned out that Sampson had a series of conflicts of interest, things involving multi-billion-dollar projects, like the Bayonne Bridge, like the development project in Hoboken that was at least a pretext of some sort for the supposed cutoff of Sandy aid to that city, and a bunch of other projects, big and small, where he promoted them while at the Port Authority and then recused himself when the final vote was taken, his law firm being, a primary legal representative for a lot of the construction companies and others who were involved in these projects. So he was forced out. Several editorials called for him to resign, and even Bergen County, the county where this mega mall is being constructed, voted to sort of cut off ties with David Sampson's firm because, among other things, he was representing the county as well.
Barbara, one of Wolf and Sampson's clients, Triple Five, is building the American Dream Mega Mall. Is it common practice in New Jersey to have a politically connected firm and many of its clients involved in a major development project like this?
Well, unfortunately, I have to say that New Jersey seems to be nothing but a symbiotic relationship between real estate developers, government officials, and the lawyers representing both. You see that all over the place. But this is a particularly amazing example of where you have a government official bringing in a developer, Laurie Griffa, as a head of the Meadowlands Commission and the Department of Community Affairs. When she headed that and brought in Triple Five to take over the building of the American Dream Mall, then when she left later that year to go back to her law firm, Wolf and Sampson, she brought Triple Five with her, and Triple Five became clients of the law firm. So she brought them in to develop the project, and as soon as she left her position in the State House, she had them as clients at Wolf and Sampson. So that's an interesting little connection here.
Not only that, Wolf and Sampson, too, was lobbying in Trenton for tax breaks for developers, on, not just on this project, but on many others. And they succeeded in getting Christie and the legislature to support tax breaks. What marked a difference in the development of this whole project between Christie and his predecessors is the involvement of public money, of getting, you know, publicly backed bonds to help get the project going. And Wolf and Sampson lobbied for those tax breaks. Triple Five became the single biggest recipient of any of those tax breaks. And then when it came time to approve this all, Michelle Brown, who was Christie's, you know, friend and associate from the U.S. Attorney's Office, another appointee was head of the Economic Development Authority in New Jersey, and she okayed the money. So you had this very incestuous relationship between the law firm and Triple Five and public money. And now a lot of the people in Bergen County and some of the politicians up there are wondering if they're going to be, you know, stuck with the bill if this thing falls apart again.
Because you also have financing for this coming from Bergen County, and one of the smallest little towns in Bergen County, East Rutherford.
Now, East Rutherford will issue as much as $500 million in bonds for the project. It has a population of 8,000.
Right.
But they're going to issue $500 million in bonds?
Supposedly,
where is the money going to come from?
Well, supposedly they won't be on the hook for this. These bonds will be bought up by Bergen County Improvement Authority, which will in turn issue bonds to private investors. All of that somehow is tied to this Economic Development Authority grant of $390 million. They're not bonds that are supposed to be paid for by public monies. This is supposed to be tax revenue that would otherwise go to the town, the county, or the state, property taxes, sales taxes, that will in turn be used to pay bondholders. But I can tell you that that little town of East Rutherford, the executives of it are very, very nervous that despite all the statements in the bond documents saying they will not be on the hook, they are worried. And they're worried that even if the money itself for the bonds doesn't ultimately come back to them, that if they are sued at some point because this whole scheme unravels, they could be on the hook for the legal costs of defending themselves. So they're in negotiations with Triple Five to get some sort of protection, both on the legal costs, potential legal costs if this unravels, and to make sure there are insurers who'll step in to cover the bonds. But it's a gamble, and people are nervous up there.
Well, let me backtrack on this, because this is so complicated. Michelle Brown, who worked with Governor Christie when he was in the U.S. Attorney's Office, was appointed head of New Jersey's Economic Development Authority, the EDA that you mentioned. And then the EDA backed a $390 million development grant for the project. I have no idea who's paying for that grant. Then the city of East Rutherford is selling $500 million in bonds. And then that is being sold to Bergen County. This is really complicated. Is this the sort of thing that often happens?
This seems to be pretty unique. As an advisor to the Bergen County Improvement Authority explained to its commissioners at a meeting when they were deciding to okay this, looking at the minutes of that meeting, he said this is very large, very unique, very complicated. So that's the best they could explain it, because it is indeed one of the most complex, convoluted relationships that have been done. There's another side to this, too, which is the private investment side, which Wolfe and Sampson, again, is involved with. One of their clients, which besides financing also does construction, and got a huge $1.5 billion contract from the Port Authority to rebuild the Gothels Bridge. The company is McCary Capital. That client of Wolfe and Sampson has been brought into this American Dream issue to help provide some of the investor funding for this. So they have agreed to put together a consortium that will buy several hundred million dollars of bonds to finance this. So we have both the public side and the private side financing connected to Wolfe and Sampson.
My guests are Barbara and Bob Dreyfus, who have written a two-part series for The Nation as part of The Nation's Christie Watch blog. This is about the American Dream mega mall and Governor Christie's connection to the revival of that project. You write that Christie has strongly backed legislation that will allow the state to play an important behind-the-scenes financing role in the mall. What's the status of that legislation?
It's law. It allowed the Economic Development Authority to issue these tax grants. So other Wolfe and Sampson clients have been recipients of it, Honeywell, for example. But the Meadowlands American Dream Mall is the recipient of the largest grant. It's basically a tax exemption that is given.
Now, Bob, you compare the law firm Wolfe and Sampson to an arms dealer that sells weapons to all sides in a many-sided conflict. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you look at the entities involved in this, Wolfe and Sampson is literally everywhere you look, not just because various of its lawyers were involved in getting it going, bringing in the developer, then acting as their attorney, let's say, for 555, but they're also the bond counsel to the Economic Development Authority. They've been bond counsel to Bergen County itself. They've been bond counsel to the Bergen County Improvement Authority. They've been lawyer for the Bergen County itself in various cases. And a key attorney, Wolfe and Sampson, was counsel to Kathleen Donovan's transition when she became elected Bergen County executive. And by the way, the tangle goes further. Alan Marcus, who's a big wheeler dealer in Bergen County, he's kind of like a county boss and power broker and real estate mogul. He's also the spokesman for 555, and he ran Kathleen Donovan's campaign and headed the transition team when she was coming into office. So the political powers that be in Bergen County have worked hand in glove with Wolfe and Sampson on every aspect of this project. And I have to add, by the way, that several of the people who were involved in this, the characters, the lawyers involved in this, who worked with Christie when he was at the U.S. Attorney's Office, one of them we already talked about, Michelle Brown. Another one is Ralph Mara, and together Mara and Brown were the two top people under Christie when he was there. They also became the key people who helped get Christie elected with possible some illegal or at least unethical behavior, because they are the people who launched the gigantic statewide bust called Operation Bid Rig 3 in 2009 in the middle of the election campaign when Christie and John Corzine were running against each other. Mara and Brown pushed for the investigation to be rushed ahead so it would come out and have an election effect. This was a huge scandal in a way at the time, but this is the arrest, you remember, when rabbis and organ transplant donors and I think there were a couple hundred arrests, including many, many Democratic office holders in North Jersey. So you had a gigantic political bust right before an election, and Mara and Brown were involved in this. Ralph Mara is now the chief lawyer for the New Jersey Sports and Exposition Authority.
What has the governor's office said when it was asked about conflicts of interest?
They don't consider these things to be conflicts of interest. They can just consider it to be business as usual. It's the same with everything that's happened with Samson and Bridgegate and everything else. We're working with people that we trust. That's what they say.
Many malls around the country are going through having their own problems. New Jersey has lots of malls already. Why would the state of New Jersey even invest public money in a mall? Are there any claims, and we have to make that very quick, that the project would have an economic benefit to the communities that surround it?
Well, sure. That's the rationale for it. I mean, there's this gigantic building sitting there that's unused, and I guess they figure this could become, you know, a Disneyland, that people would come from the world over, just the way, I don't know, people go to the Mall of America in Minnesota, which, by the way, was developed by 555 as well. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's going to be anything even roughly comparable to that. There are dozens of malls in North Jersey. It's kind of mall heaven up there.
Well, we have to leave it there, unfortunately. But my great thanks to both of you for being on our show. Bob and Barbara Dreyfus write the Christie Watch blog for The Nation. And we've been talking about the revival of the American Dream Mega Mall project. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.